I'll read just a little bit from Luke chapter 2, because what I want to give you is based on Matthew chapters 1 and 2, and also some things out of Luke chapters 1 and 2. And so we'll read starting chapter 2 of Luke, verse number 9. And it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, I want to ask a question that I will attempt to answer. Why is Christmas such a big deal? And in America, it is a big deal. I'm glad it's a big deal. I'm staying over at Bob and Kim Ross's for my trip here. And I came to Linton last night, and I went this morning to the famous Golden Arches over there well before daylight for breakfast. And they have that park over there. I've seen it prior times. They've got it all lit up with lights. And I don't, looks like that might be, I don't know what, 3 acres or something. And they've gone to a lot of effort to create something very nice. And if you haven't been over there, you ought to go to McDonald's or Wendy's and get a hamburger and drive by and look at it. Just trying to help everybody out here. And and there are other places. In fact, seeing that and noticing in our city of Murfreesboro, where we live there in the south edge of Nashville, there are more people this year who've got things in their yard and a lot of just beautiful things. And I decided this week, I'm going to talk to our mayor, and I'm going to tell him, my opinion is, he probably won't pay any attention to me, but I'm going to tell him my opinion is that we ought to make our city, we ought to develop a logo that calls it the City of Lights. We've already got a bunch of people doing that. And if our city would just do something like what Linton's done, my guess is people would come in from all over the region just to see it. Right. And obviously they buy hamburgers and they stay in hotels, and that's how you see the picture. So anyway, it is a big deal. And I'm glad it is. Now, not everybody big deals it for the same reason, but it is a big deal. For some people, it's the advertising. You got people, I mean, they're gonna sell you ads, they're gonna sell you billboards, whatever. And other people, it's like, oh wow, look what they're advertising, and they're eager to get that. I mean, obviously, with a lot of people, it's been commercialized, and Christmas with a lot of people is built around what I prefer to call the North Pole mythology. The North Pole mythology. That whole scenario is a mistake. All right, it is. And you say, how can you say that? Well, I've been to North Pole, Alaska. I've been there. And I saw reindeer. And not a one of those reindeer can fly. So it's a myth. They've lied to us about that. And not only that, but I've seen a lot of those guys in red suits and white beards. And I'm telling you, they're not a one of them can get down them chimneys. No, none of them are thin. All of this, and not only that, they don't know whether you've been naughty or nice. They don't even know you, much less know what you've done or haven't done. So yes, the North Pole mythology, a lot of people build around that, but it's not the real reason why Christmas is a big deal. Now, for us as Christians, it is a big deal. Now, let's back up to the Bible text and to the first century, and I'm going to say even then, it was big in the first century, what I think we can call the first Christmas. It was big then. Just for example, if you look in Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to tell you, it was a big deal for Joseph. It was a big deal for him. Verse 19 says, verse 18 says that he was espoused to Mary. That means he was betrothed to her, not married to her, but engaged to be married. And before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, verse 19, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, you got to think what's going on here with him. He has found his life's mate. He has proposed to her. They have set things in place to be married, and she turns up with child. Now, he doesn't want to embarrass her any further, so he's willing to just set everything aside privately. You say, well, the deal with him is he knows. He knows he's been clean. He knows that pregnancy is not his doing. He knows that. Right. Now, Mary knows that as well. But you gotta think about Joseph here, and you gotta give him some credit, because he is saying, hey, we can't go forward with this. But at the same time, the next verse says that he thought on these things. He's not quick triggered. I mean, he loves her. But yet, I mean, this whole thing, it has shaken up his world. Big deal. And so he's pondering it, and that's when the Lord steps in and says, Joseph, everything is working out here on my schedule. He makes clear the point that the conception is God's doing, not his. And look what Joseph does. He responds immediately. He responds immediately and follows the instructions that was given to the Lord. Got to give Joseph credit. Big deal. I mean, shaking up his world, but he handles it. Now, you got to think about Mary. I mean, over in Luke chapter 1, when she is advised of what's taking place, remember what she said? Question, how shall this be? I mean, she's not dumb about how stuff like this comes to be. And so she says, how in the world can this happen? And when the Lord advises her, you know what her response is? My soul doth magnify the Lord. And then she pondered all of this. So here again, it's a big deal to her as it was to Joseph. Now, let's look at a couple other people here in the first century. Think about that innkeeper. Now, I'll tell you right up front, I'm going to stand up for him a little bit. This guy has an inn where he takes in guests for a fee. In other words, it's like a little hotel, little motel. But let me tell you something. What he has is not the Holiday Inn Express. It's not the Hampton Inn. It is not Motel 6. Sometimes, not often, but once in a while, when I get back from a trip, my dear wife will say to me, well, how was the hotel? And I will tell her, well, it was Motel 3. And she knows what I mean by that. It's half of what Motel 6 is. And Motel 6 is kind of on the lower end of the totem pole. Now, what this innkeeper had, I promise you, it was pretty common fare. But when Joseph showed up at the door with his very pregnant wife, they've just made a 60-mile trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem, no doubt her riding on the back of a donkey, and then the extra five miles from Jerusalem over to Bethlehem. They show up, and it's near the time of her delivery, and the innkeeper has to say, folks, I'm sorry, but we're full up. He had no idea that he was becoming famous at the moment for one statement in his life when he said, "No room in the inn." But I got to give him a little credit, because he saw the dilemma and he said, "The best I can do, the stable is out there. Now, maybe, and I guess the donkeys, maybe some camels, maybe some sheep or goats." But he said, "You know what you could do is put some hay in the manger." I'm ad-libbing for him here. "You could put some hay in one of those mangers, maybe put a blanket over it. I'm sorry, but it's the best I can do." Now, I got to give him some credit, okay? It was a big deal. He had no idea who it was he was talking to. He had no idea that even that was just helping the birthing of the Savior of the world. But he did something for somebody unknown to him. Got to give him some credit. But it was all a big deal. And then think about the shepherds. They're out there on those hillsides near Bethlehem grazing their sheep, tending their sheep. By the way, you go to Israel today and you will still see those Bedouins out there with their little tents set up, and they've got sheep and goats and they're tending to them and watching over them. There's something like 30,000 or so of them in Israel today, making their living, herding sheep and goats out on those hillsides and some of the desert areas and whatever else. And so here they are minding their own business, and all at once, yeah, you know about a cantata, we had one. I'm telling you, that heavenly choir showed up strong and lighting up the sky with their music. And those shepherds took note of that, and all at once those goats and sheep, I mean, I don't know whether they were herding them all the way to Bethlehem or what, but all at once the big deal was, we got to go see this, and that's when they said, "Let us go now even to Bethlehem." And so, yes, big deal. Later, it was the wise men who'd come several hundred miles. Think about what a big deal it was to old Herod. You know, about a wicked old rascal. I mean, he was one more dishonorable, wicked hombre, and yet when he heard, I mean, it's like, where is this king of the Jews, and what's going on with this, and somebody help me out here, somebody tell me. And, I mean, he's the culprit that ordered up the slaughter of the innocents, etc. And by the way, you got to think about the whole general population around Jerusalem and Bethlehem. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, that all of Jerusalem was troubled. I mean, there was stir going on. So the arrival of Jesus in the first century, it was a big deal then. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Christmas is a big deal now. Just like it was then, it is now. Because it marks the time when Jesus came. I found a piece that actually appeared in the Sword. And again, I don't know when I clipped this out. It's been a while. Brother Ross, you somewhere back, you probably heard Jimmy Johnson, maybe at Tennessee Temple or someplace. Remember that name? He's dead now, long since, but he wrote what I'm about to give you. And I think it's a classic piece. Whenever I say to you that Christmas is a big deal because he came, well, here's what Jimmy Johnson wrote. "Pagan power, cruel conquerors waged war upon the world. Rome was ruling. Men were in bondage. Night had settled over the earth. Right by might had been crushed down. Peace was a thing of the past. Fear had displaced freedom. History's black pages were being written. Dark hours of the night had settled over the world, and then he came. He came upon a midnight clear. He came out of ivory palaces into a world of woe. He came from heaven's high glory to earth's lowest place. He came, the best of the best, the cream of the milk, the sweet fragrance of the rose, the grand hallelujah of glory. He came. He came, the Son of God, and became the Son of Man, that I, a son of man, might become a son of God. He came, the heavenly child of an earthly mother, and the earthly child of a heavenly father. He came, the richest of the rich, that we, the poorest of the poor, might become rich. He came to become a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that he might dry our tears. He came and took from his head a crown of glory to make a crown of thorns, that we might wear a crown of glory. He came, and from his shoulders he laid aside a regal robe of royalty and took a purple robe of mockery, that we might take a robe of righteousness. He came on time, because when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came not to send peace, but a sword. Peace is spoken of in the Bible in three different ways. Peace with God, Christ on the cross. Peace of God, Christ in the heart. And peace on earth, Christ on the throne. In this age, he's the great divider. He stands in every nation, in every town, in every home with his dividing sword. An unseen line is drawn in every place. Every man on earth is either for him or against him, gathers unto him or scatters abroad, serves God or mammon, is after the similitude of Adam or Christ, is in Adam to die or in Christ Jesus made alive forevermore. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came to the inn, but there was no room for him there. They laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. You think of it. If they had only known that the name of this Bethlehem babe for whom they had no room would one day be the name above every name in all the world and in all eternity, if they had only known. But listen, and I've skipped some of it. It's a great piece just reminding us that Jesus came. And Christmas is a big deal, because when we celebrate the Savior's birth, we're celebrating forgiveness. You know, one of the hardest things that I have to deal with in communicating the message is getting folks to understand that because he came, they can be forgiven. A lot of folks struggle with that. They look at all of their baggage. They look at all of their hurt. They look at all of the heartache. They look at all of their sin. And it's piled up in their mind, in their memory. And they have a difficult time understanding that the great Savior can wipe the record clean. But he does. And so it is a big deal. Forgiveness, yes. Escape. Remember, the wages of sin is death, physically, spiritually, going to hell ultimately. But the Lord Jesus, because he came, there's an escape from that. Amen. Nobody has to go to hell. Some people will, but they don't have to go because he came. You and I have victory, can have victory in our life, and we can have heaven later because he came. So, it is a big deal, Christmas, because, you know, we see Jesus first as the promised Messiah, then as the baby in Bethlehem, later as the miracle worker, then the preacher, the teacher, the crucified one, the resurrected Savior, alive, triumphant, ascending up to heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. And because of that, you and I have a Savior that is available to us. When Simon Peter preached that great sermon in Acts chapter 2, he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." And whenever this passage says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," that is good news. And that's why I can stand here this morning and tell you, yes, Christmas is a big deal. And when I asked the question at the outset, why is it a big deal? Well, I hope you can see from just a few minutes of pondering the issue here. Yes, we have all kinds of reason to tell you it is a big deal. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for all that you do for us and all that you have done, what you will do. Lord, we're thankful. And we're excited because here this Christmas season we can celebrate. We have every reason to celebrate and make much ado about the Lord Jesus. And we do it gladly and joyfully and excitedly. And Lord, I pray that today somebody who walks through these doors will settle down and just know that everything I've told them is true and that they will respond to it and say yes to the Savior and enthrone him in their heart. I pray that it shall be so. Give us, I pray, this day full measure of your sweet blessings, and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.